Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT-flavoured edition. I'm El Fakador Laurie Blake and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell.
Hello, mate.
Hi, mate. How's it going?
It's been better.
It's been a weird week for WWE wrestling and a very dark cloud hanging over this week's NXT show. But on the show itself, we had two big debuts, some interesting new wrinkles in the fabric of what's happening between the rest of the roster. And that's it. But we'll also be talking about the releases that WWE Mass did last night. I've got so sort of caught up in the how horrible it was that I now can't speak words. Here's the show. Two really big names made their NXT debut on last night's episode. We had Timothy Thatcher in the main event match being Matt Riddle's partner, and we had Killer Cross, now named Karrion Cross.
Karrion Cross.
Who appeared to close out the show attacking Tommaso Ciampa. So we'll be going through those bits in a second, but we're also going to be talking a little bit about the NXT releases that came out last night in that sort of tragic wave of news coming out of WWE, and we'll also be talking about the rest of the show a little bit too. So let's hop into the debuts that happened. Timothy Thatcher's was probably less of a, like, more of a surprise than Killer Cross, who's had plenty of teasing, plenty of vignettes, was showed up at the back of the shot on the Johnny Gargano Ciampa match, one final beat last week,
which, by the way, Blompier and I last week completely missed. Mm-hmm. Completely missed that shot entirely, but you know, that's fine. Lots of people spotted it and told us we were stupid, which we were.
That's what YouTube comments are there for, Pete, to remind you that in all your hard work and everything you've done, you've still failed. That's what YouTube comments are all about. So they've had all this teasing, and then this week, Thatcher, on the other hand, is literally, like, they've said that he signed a deal, and that was a few months ago now, I think. Mm-hmm. And this is after years and years and years of WWE trying to get him and him being like, I don't want to do it. I'm not that interested. And then now, obviously, the time has come around where he's decided to, maybe now's not the best time to, who knows, but it's kind of fortuitously or seemingly actually bumped up his debut from whatever they might have been planning to. They have just decided to go with it now and do it. So the Undisputed Era are vying for the tag titles. It's Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong, because Kyle O'Reilly is not medically cleared, they said. Adam Cole is on vacation in his garden, as he has been for weeks now. Riddle comes out and a promo package from Pete Dunne plays where he's wearing a WWE 2K19 t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because
man has taste.
2K20 is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he says, oh, I've got someone who I think will be a good fit for you, Matt Riddle, who's gonna work with you in this match. And it's Timothy Thatcher. What did you make of this debut, Pete?
I really like Timothy Thatcher. So I was super excited to see him. And when, you know, when he first came out, he just kind of stood on the ramp with Riddle and then just like barreled straight down to the ring, no smile on his face, no nothing. And I was like, this is cool. I can get on board with this. He was really good in the match as well, I thought, getting over his offense. He didn't like, you know, he didn't squash anyone. He made everyone look really good. He looked really good coming out of it. He was the one who actually ended up getting the victory using a Fujiwara armbar, which was pretty cool. They were teasing it throughout the match that he was going to lock it in. And when he finally did, Strong immediately tapped after he put it in, which I thought was cool. I don't know if I'm a huge fan of him being just like Pete Dunne 2.0, of him just being like, I'm this big bruiser, don't mess with me type, but also I'm going to throw Matt Riddle to do some kind of move and then I'll laugh about it afterwards. I would have preferred him to just be the hard ass for now, and eventually they can build to like him having kind of a softer side. But yeah, I don't know. It was still cool. I'm really excited that Timothy Thatcher's there, and I thought it was a really effective debut for him as a character to be like, here's who he is. He's really hard hitting. He's cool. Watch him. I thought that bit was effective. I don't know how on board I am with him. Yeah, basically just being Pete Dunne again.
Well, because I think that's what's sort of, he's obviously now having, there are boots to fill, and he's having to fill the boots that Pete Dunne was already doing. And they decided here to do the same thing with him, which is he is the foil to Matt Riddle's comedy, like to Matt Riddle's character, basically. Like it's an odd couple pairing, isn't it? And what I don't buy about it, though, is what I quite like about Riddle and Dunne is that I think Dunne's shrugging, I don't care gimmick, it has this surly teenager quality to it. Like he's putting it on, like I do. It's that sort of thing where it's a pretense for the point of being quite funny. Whereas I don't really buy that Timothy Thatcher is pretending he doesn't like things. He just doesn't like things.
Exactly.
He finds no joy. You kind of get left with this feeling that, like, I don't think it's going to come across quite as well, because there's never that little glimmer that Pete Dunne's at. You know, you're probably not going to get that glimmer that, you know, Pete Dunne's actually enjoying working with Matt Riddle, clearly. His face might not say so, but I think you can see the twinkle in his eyes. Whereas I think with Thatcher, we're not going to quite get there. I think it's going to be quite awkward. And I think also some parts of this match made it seem a little bit awkward as well, because I don't think everything in the ring gelled quite as well as it could have done. Like there was a little bit of a few little sloppy moments between Thatcher and the Undisputed Era. The bit where he gets him to flip him, I thought that wasn't like smooth enough. And I get they were going for that sort of like, no, you've got to do this thing because Pete does that. It just all sort of clunked in places. So I wonder if they're going to build that into the storyline, though, because this is kind of the feeling I got coming out of this. And we were saying this about maybe in the interim Cruiserweight Championship tournament, they might do because they're saying it's interim champion. They might do a champion versus champion match at the end to decide who actually is the champion when Devlin is allowed to come back to America and compete. But here, this storyline feels more like they're going to have some kind of controversy, because they're making a big play out of the fact that Thatcher's just like, he's just a stand-in. He's even said he's just going to help you defend the titles, Matt Riddle, blah, blah, blah. Like you said there was a WWE.com exclusive. What happened in that?
So it was backstage interview where Riddle was asked, what did you think about Timothy Thatcher? And he was like, oh, he's super cool. He's rad. He's great, kind of putting over Thatcher in the classical way. And then he said, I think Stallion Pete would agree. Why don't you hold this title for now? And Thatcher was like, hey, man, I respect you. We fought. We're really cool together. But I'm not going to hold that title. You hold it for now, because it's your titles. You won them. So I'll help you defend them, but you keep the titles. Which was weird, because he already held one of the titles on the episode. But sure. Maybe that is building to some sort of, you know, tension. Maybe at some point Thatcher's just like, no, I've defended these titles loads. Maybe I am a tag champion after all. And he'll decide to take one of the titles. And maybe when Dunne comes back, there's some sort of tension between them to be like, you haven't even been here. You don't even go here. And he's got one of the titles being like, I've defended this more than you have. This is mine, really. And then they have like a Dunne Thatcher thing. I'd be into it.
Yeah, I think that'd be. I think that kind of, that seems like a really good option to cement Thatcher as a main event player in the NXT landscape, is to put him against someone like Dunn or Riddle, because he could, you know, this could be the whole, like, I keep saving your ass, Riddle. Like, you know, I just Fujiwara armbarred Roderick Strong and got him out of the match. Like, I'm the one defending this belt. You're letting me down. So Dunn comes back and goes, well, I'm, you know, I never lost this belt, so I get one belt. And maybe Thatcher goes, maybe Thatcher sides with Dunn. Maybe Thatcher sides with Riddle. Maybe Dunn and Riddle side against Thatcher. Like, there's a lot of options to play with here. And I think it's despite it being forced, a full circumstance to have to fill in with Riddle and Dunn, this could actually produce quite an interesting storyline and a good way for them to lose the belts to somebody else without necessarily having to have them beaten. Because, like, you know, I feel like Indus Share is on the rise in some degree within the tag division. And this is a good way for Riddle and Dunn to just lose to some bigger guys without really losing face.
Yeah, I like that. And it could also be possible where Timothy Thatcher just teams with Dexter Lumis, because he was watching this tag match for some reason.
That was a bit of a weird one, because they seem to be making a bigger play with Dexter Lumis now, who beat up Tahuti Miles, the most recent Miles character in NXT now. I think Dexter Lumis is great. And I don't know what they're doing with him. And I think it was a bit weird to do two sociopaths in quick succession on an episode, like, because they did Dexter Lumis in this match, and there's a point where they chuck Thatcher outside and they start beating on him on the outside, and then Roddy and Bobby notice that Lumis is just looming in the background, and they're like, whoa, what's going on there? And then,
it was weird.
And they don't mention it again. They just
leave it. Light of just lighting him from below, and he's just there just glaring at them. It's like, what? Why are you here? Stop it. Creepy. I get the whole creepy vibe they're going for, totally. Don't know how he plays into the storyline whatsoever. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's just creepy. Maybe he's just going to show up in random matches to put over his character more of him being looming and stalking and all that stuff. I don't know.
I think maybe he's going to go after Thatcher or something. Like, maybe that would be a good a good way for them to sort of build themselves up here. But I just thought it was a bit weird to do that, and then literally a minute after the match, we get Killer Cross making his debut, who is also a stalker killer style character, a bit more on the out and out psychopath end of the spectrum rather than the I'm just going to stand in the backdrop and stare at you.
Totally.
But I really liked this. I thought this debut was, I think this debut was better than Thatcher's, because I think Thatcher didn't quite gel in that match in the way I was hoping he would, because he never got to, he sort of had to fit into everyone else's style. Whereas this was exactly what Killer Cross, I think, has always wanted to be. Yeah. And this is what he was doing in Impact anyway. And I thought it was really great. You know, Ciampa's sitting there and he says, I'm done with this. I'm done with you, Johnny. I'm done with Candice. I'm just going to say it. You're the bigger man. And then somebody looms out of the backdrop, drags Ciampa down. You hear this.
Great shot.
It was a great shot, and the camera falls. And then you hear this crazy, like, brawl happening off screen, and the sound design on this bit I thought was really good. They were clearly slamming him into something, like, just made this god awful reverberation. Then Ciampa drops to the floor. Scarlet Bordeaux's dominatrix shoe steps into shot, and then Cross crawls in and just goes tick tock, and that ends the. I love it. I thought it was so fun.
Yeah, so good. That shot, because Ciampa's sitting on like a crate or something, just straight at the camera. And you just see from behind him, it's like something from like a horror movie or something, where you can't see behind him and you just see something come out of the shadows and grab the person suddenly. It's literally like arms came out and went round his stomach and just pulled him into the darkness. It was such a good shot. And yeah, I really thought this was an effective debut. So stuff they've been teasing that they paid off effectively. I'm really excited to see what he can do. I think the whole gimmick is really, really cool. So
and again, it's a great gimmick for a time like this as well. Like, I think this is one of those, you know, we were saying, it's everyone I think has been talking about the unprecedented circumstances that COVID-19 has forced everyone into. Like, here we are with another character coming up in WWE who opens up the door for different style production. Like having a character who stalks and attacks and chases people opens up the door for like mystery style segments. And, you know, things like the Boneyard match or the Funhouse match, those kinds of things, or just even just Bray doing Firefly Funhouse, like WWE's normal way of doing segments is to do matches and promos in the ring. And then sometimes one person will get their own TV show. Like Miz TV, where I get a talk show, and that's pretty much their only, that's really the only currency they deal with normally. And now they've got these characters coming up where you can go like, well, we could actually do a series of, what if we did the Fashion Files, but seriously, where these people are trying to track down where Killer Kross is coming from or who he's after, or he can cut these creepy promos, he can make all these attacks, and we can have all of these more cinematic scenes that don't require people to wrestle necessarily.
I think that's the best decision. I think that would be really effective in trying to get over characters more, because I think for a long time NXT's really just been about who's the best in-ring wrestler and not necessarily about the characters per se. But I think having this kind of more cinematic style like you're talking about is really good for getting that connection with the fans and getting over a character, so that the matches in the ring don't have to be five-star classics every single time, because you're emotionally invested in the characters. They don't have to be these big, you know, 17 finisher near falls amazing sequences. They can just be regular matches that will be elevated to a next level because of the characters that you're invested in. So yeah, I think this is a weird time, but a good time for Karrion Kross to debut in NXT. Briefly, let's talk about the name Karrion Kross.
With a K?
With a K.
Mortal Kombat!
We spoke about it just before we started recording here, but Karrion is the rotting meat of a corpse.
Of a dead animal, yeah.
So he's gone from a killer to the thing that's dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should have just let him keep the name. Should have just let him keep the name. It was...
Yeah.
It was
I don't know if they like killer as a word. I mean, I guess they had magic killer as a thing, but I guess... Crusher Kross. That's not quite as good.
I know, but it's just because you can.
Sounds like a cereal.
But it's because they made AJ Styles change the Calf Killer to Calf Crusher, didn't they? Yeah. But it's weird that they didn't have the Magic Crusher then, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the same faction. I guess that's probably they don't want a character called Killer. But then I actually think Karrion is a worse word. Like, you know, if you Google what, I know kids won't know what that means, but if you Google what it means, it's far more evocative than killer to me. I don't know. Like, I think it conjures a more grisly image than just the word killer. Like,
yeah, I guess so. Kangaroo Kross. Yep.
Perfect. Yeah.
Got it sorted.
Hatton Kross.
Yeah.
Barter Kross. It's another one of those. They might as well just have revamped the whole name and not stuck with anything similar. You know, like I think that's kind of. I think sometimes when they do when they do these like subtle tweaks, they always come out worse. Whereas you could just do a full name change, and people will just eventually get used to it. Like, obviously, I'm still not used to the Viking Raiders and their new names. I refuse to believe that they're Eric and Ivar because Hansel and Roe were fine names. But sure, yeah, whatever. It'd be fine. Karrion Kross, I think Karrion Kross will get over because I think it's a cool gimmick. I think it's interesting to actually have him paired up with Scarlett Bordeaux, which I don't think is something we've seen a hell of a lot of. It wasn't really done too much in Impact. So like, I think this will add something to this. And I think I think what I'm also quite keen on is the idea of seeing how she has adapted her gimmick to fit in with his. And whether she has at all, because like I think the smoke show gimmick here might not necessarily work with I'm a crazy killer, and it's like I'm a crazy killer man, I'm hot.
I'm a crazy killer man, I'm also there.
I am here.
That gimmick.
So I don't know. Like I think it's quite an inside term. It technically was a third, which we didn't mention in the title of this video, but there technically was a bit of a third debut here as well. It's the first time we've seen him in NXT in any way, shape, or form. Was El Hijo del Fantasma, which is King Cuerno, the luchador that we all suspect has been nicking the other luchadors and turning them into lucha slaves, stealing my gimmick, is going to be part of the interim cruiserweight championship tournament. Got a really cool promo package here, I thought, where he looked boss. I really liked this promo package. I think it made him look like a star. I feel like there are going to be shenanigans and he is going to be the interim cruiserweight champion in my head. But Kushida's also in the tournament, so it might be Kushida. You never know.
Yeah. I mean, if they are going to lead to a champion versus champion thing, I don't know if we're going to see Phantasma versus Devlin. That might be a bit of a weird matchup. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought, yeah, this promo package was awesome. It just showed him in a suit and a mask, kind of replaying into, you know, the people that have been doing the kidnappings on Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really getting over that imagery of him being this kind of like mob boss type character, him just being like, I've wrestled all over the world, I'm amazing, watch me next week because I'm really cool. And that was pretty much the video package, and it was awesome. It was perfect. He's going to be facing Jake Atlas, I think it is, next week in his first cruiserweight tournament match, which I'm hoping is very quick. I'm hoping he just kind of comes out and kills him a little bit.
Yeah, and then I think introduce the goons down the line.
Yeah.
I think you could do a sort of slow, a subtle heel turn here with him, or if he's being positioned as a heel, that I think you could do something where it's like it's only slowly revealed over the course of this tournament his actual alignment, because I think he's probably got they've built him as like this amazing second generation star who really could just leverage his in-ring skill here and his legacy. But then I think when times are tough, you could play that card of being like, well, no, I just deserve this because of who I am and where my lineage, so I am going to cheat now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
First, actually, we should probably talk about some of the releases that happened yesterday. Obviously, there were tons of them over on the main roster. There were five names from NXT as well. So there was Alexander Jaksic, who I don't think we've seen on NXT. There was MJ Jenkins, who I also don't think we've seen. Dorian Mack, or real name Dan Mather. We've seen Dan Mather, I think, a couple of times. He got destroyed by Samoa Joe quite a few years ago when Dan Mather, I think, had some video packages hyping up his debut, and he came up for his debut and then Joe came out and just murdered him and just wanted Shinsuke Nakamura, and it was a really cool segment. who else did we have? We had Josiah Williams, who people might know from Adam Cole's TakeOver entrance, where Josiah Williams was rapping alongside Adam Cole towards mm-hmm. the ring. And Deonna Purrazzo as well, who'd been, you know, featured on Raw and stuff like that as well. So all those guys released from NXT yesterday as well. It's a really unfortunate circumstance. And I don't know whether that's the full list of NXT talent. I think there might be more. I don't know whether they're waiting for after this episode of NXT, so we might see more tonight, or we might see more after SmackDown or whenever, but I don't think they're done, unfortunately. No.
I think they're kind of like, I mean, there's been talk of there being a second wave, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they're probably waiting until some of the show, they've decided who's available to do certain shows, who they need, what talent they need to do the storylines. They're trying to get ahead on sort of the writing, I imagine. And then I guess they're going to cull some more names. And I think it's been said by plenty of people, there's the argument that it's a business decision. It's a bad business decision because it's a very money-minded, fiscally driven business decision that is only about saving a profit margin and not saving the company from a loss, just saving the company from making slightly less profit than they had promised their shareholders, which, you know, in a time of financial upheaval for the entire world, probably doesn't matter.
Mm.
You know, in quite the same way that, you know, it is a financial crisis, I think, for everyone. And I think, you know, you're not earning yourself any brownie points by leaving people that you have just literally this week bribed Florida to say are key workers, leaving them out leaving them completely in the lurch, unable to ply their craft anywhere because everyone else is being far more sensible about the way in which they're doing business at this exact moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, they're completely essential workers apart from when they're not essential at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we can just get rid of them.
Yeah. And it's a shame, isn't it? Because like you have to think people like, I feel like Deonna Purrazzo had so much to give in NXT. Like she was featured in the Mae Young Classic. She had a spot on NXT before she went away for a bit. She came back. She made, you know, they made big deal about her and Chelsea Green joining. Chelsea Green then got injured. I think she broke her wrist. And seemingly that also just put the kibosh on Purrazzo appearing at all. And then Green gets to make her debut as part of the Robert Stone brand. It kind of was floating in the air, felt like that maybe they were going to add Purrazzo to the Robert Stone brand because Green and Purrazzo had been teaming on NXT live shows. And then nothing. And then like before Purrazzo even really makes her proper NXT debut, she's on that episode of Raw filling in. And then she's in the Battle Royal. With very little ceremony, and then is dumped out. She attacks Shotzi Blackheart. There's that match that happened as well, and that is pretty much the story of her NXT career. I feel like she didn't get a fair shake there at all.
No, and a lot of these guys probably didn't either. I don't know. We've seen many of them on NXT TV at all to even, you know, form an opinion about them. I it's such a shame.
And I think it's worth noting that some of these releases would have been mutual between the company and the performers because, you know, clearly like some people know they're not getting, like people like Rusev probably are like, well, I wasn't ever getting used right anyway. I've been stalling making a deal. So that's a mutual decision. But like for the people in NXT, I feel like they're literally that's putting your foot on the bottom of a ladder and being like, I'm ready. And then to step backwards feels like it's probably not going to happen. And it's just weird, isn't it, to sign so many people all the time as WWE, have no plans for them, and then wait until a huge crisis and be like, okay, well, on your bike.
Yeah, it's really backwards, but yeah, it's a bad situation for everyone involved, really. I guess we should talk about the rest of the show. One name we didn't actually mention briefly is also Drake Maverick, who's part of the interim cruiserweight tournament. He has been released, but he's still allowed to compete as part of this tournament, and then after that he's gone. So his Twitter video was heartbreaking. His Twitter video was horrible to watch. But they've turned him into the biggest babyface in the company during these matches. Like, I'm going to be watching these matches so much more invested than I was before, and I just want to see Maverick do amazing. And I really hope he does in all those matches. I really hope he's given, you know, respect. He's not just gone out there being like, well, you've already gone from the company, you can lose in 2 minutes. Yeah. I really hope he's given a bit of respect and he's, you know, going to put in some good showings in his matches.
I think that's the thing. Is like, I think what Drake Maverick has proven throughout the whole time that he's been at WWE is that he will take whatever they're going to give him and he will run with it. And whether that's being the GM on 205 Live, whether that is being wetting himself, whether that is the going, like, literally grabbing an opportunity and going, I'm going to make the 24/7 title thing my thing, and I'm going to grow that on Twitter myself, and then people, I'm going to force WWE to make me that champion. The whole he's not getting any bit, that was brilliant. I think the guy is great, and I think that video on Twitter, as heartbreaking was it as it was, proves that he's a bloody professional guy as well too, because he's like, he still played the game. Like, he had no reason to continue to put over that company and play along with their stupid storylines. Like, at that point, he could have just gone, ah, screw it, I don't care anymore. I think it takes a very big man to still go, these might be my last three matches and I'm still going to give you everything I've got, and still put in, you know, still play up the idea that it's a competition that anyone can win and it hasn't already been decided. I just think, like, props to him, because that was, like, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah, him just saying, like, I've got to win these matches, otherwise, you know, I'm going to go out not on the way I want to and all that stuff. Like, yeah, he doesn't have to put over kayfabe at all, but he still did. And that was immediately after he got off the phone with him. So,
yeah,
what a guy.
Shows you can be professional in these situations. So maybe WWE management should have a little think about that.
Yeah. Shocking. Elsewhere on the show, there was an interesting development with Finn Balor on the show. Mm-hmm. He kicked off the episode facing Fabian Aichner. He got the win over him and took out Marcel Bartel as well, kind of continuing that Finn Balor-Walter plate, keeping that spinning until whenever that can happen. But then later on in the show, Velveteen Dream was cutting a promo because they were playing up on commentary for some reason. They were saying Velveteen Dream and Adam Cole are going to have a face to face later on the show. It's like, well, obviously they're not, but sure, go ahead. And then later on, Adam Cole cut a promo from the same place. And he was like, what, did you really think I was going to show up? It's like, no one thought you were going to show up. Come on, Cole. And then, yeah, he was just saying, you still don't deserve a shot at my title. I'm great. You're rubbish. Blah, 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 blah. And then Dream came out afterwards and he was like, I'm getting really tired of this, Adam Cole. You're the greatest NXT champion of all time, but you're the last champion left in the Undisputed Era and I'm going to take the title off you. But Finn
just
Balor,
playing video games, you just cut this promo earlier in the day because the sun was still out. I really enjoyed that line. I thought it was really funny.
That was pretty good. But then Finn Balor hears what Dream is saying, and you can just see him in the corner of the shot, just kind of standing there watching Dream. He comes up to him and he's just like, if you're talking about the greatest NXT champion of all time, that's me, buddy. That's not Adam Cole. And be careful what you wish for, because you might get a date with the prince. And then Velveteen Dream was like, oh, a date? Great. Pick me up next Wednesday. Which I thought was a great line from Dream again. And yeah, we're going to be getting Finn Balor versus Velveteen Dream next week, which I'm really excited for. That should be a great match. Mm-hmm. Feel like it could have done with a bit more build, personally.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big match. That's a big-time NXT match. But
they're still building Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole, which, unless Velveteen Dream's going to go around his house, isn't going to happen. So
yeah, I know. And there's still going to be Finn Balor versus Walter, which, unless Finn Balor swims across the Atlantic, also isn't happening. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I just think it's a weird time. So we're going to get a lot of things that, you know, would have been more exciting had they had build, but probably I'm still excited for this match. I still think that it's like, you know, it's a shame that things like Timothy Thatcher's debut has to kind of be hammered into a hole that popped up because of some other reason. It's a shame that we finally get the pairing of Finn Balor and Velveteen Dream because Adam Cole can't be in the studio. You know, it's a shame for all these things, but I think if making the best of a bad situation means that you get some things that would be quite high on your wish list of matches to see and debuts, then I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes. Quick rundown of the just the rest of the show just before we get out of here. It started off with that Balor and Aichner match. Charlotte cuts a promo saying that she's beaten the past, the present, and the future. It was a cool promo saying that she's beaten, you know, Nikki Bella and Paige and all that stuff. She ended Nikki Bella's career, who was the past, and she beat Paige, who at the time was like the best wrestler in the world and all that stuff. And now she's beating Rhea Ripley, who was supposedly the future. So she's better than literally everybody. And it's hard to argue with her when she's won everything. I thought it was pretty cool. We got Xia Li versus Aaliyah in some payback for Aaliyah busting, Xia Li busting her open, but Xia Li won anyway, which I thought was quite funny. They announced that El Hijo del Fantasma and had the video package and stuff. They had Swerve Scott versus Tozawa in a great match, I thought, for the first Cruiserweight tournament match. Thought this was absolutely class.
It was really, really good. The only thing I wasn't convinced by the finish. I wasn't convinced by Tozawa winning. Obviously, I think he's probably got a bit more name recognition and maybe there's a bit more cross-promotional stuff going on now. So because he's a Raw star, he gets to be a little bit higher up that pecking order of who should be winning matches on NXT. Just because all the talent's being shared around now.
Yeah,
a lot more. So I think that's maybe why that decision was made. I feel like Swerve feels like the future bigger star to me, because I think he's great and he looked amazing in this match. But they both did. I think they both did incredibly well. Tozawa takes this crazy bump off this rolling cannonball into the barricade from the apron. It's nuts, and it's and to be fair, it made it look like he was injured towards the end of the match, because he, like, as he wins the match, referee goes to raise his left arm and he's like, no, just raise me right, please, because I think he's done his neck here. I'm hoping Akira Tozawa is not injured, and maybe it was just in pain from taking that particularly nasty bump, but what an amazing thing to do, because that was absolutely crazy.
Bonker spot, please stop doing that, don't hurt yourself in a time like this, please. Great match though. After that, we got Tegan Nox versus Raquel Gonzalez. Gonzalez is big. I don't know.
She really is.
Does she have a character? I'm not sold, really.
She's big and she's angry. Dakota Kai looked like she'd been mauled by something on the way to the ring because her jeans were messed up. I thought Gonzalez was quite good in this, though. I think she was she was very dominating. I thought she was... she came across like vicious in a really intimidating and cool way. I thought there was bits where she was pulling Tegan's hair to wrench her neck. And the ref was like, well, don't do that. You can't pull the hair. And she went, all right, fine. And she put her hands in her mouth and started wrenching like that. And then she started counting at the referee. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was great character work. I really liked that. The match comes to a close though, because Kai gets involved and kicks Nox in the head while she's in the corner. But Shotzi Blackheart runs down and attacks Kai with a helmet. She then gets involved in a bit of a muddle with Gonzalez and who's going for a chokeslam on the apron, but then Nox gets the roll up and steals the win. So that's now set up a Blackheart and Nox versus Kai and Gonzalez match for next week.
Yeah, which is good setup. Have we been told why Gonzalez started helping Dakota Kai yet? Is that
because she's her tiny clone?
Maybe. I don't know. But after that, we get, I thought, a really, really cool Keith Lee video package. Mm-hmm. I thought this was great babyface stuff from Keith Lee, just talking about the sacrifices he's had to make and how long he's been in the business and yada, yada, yada. I thought it was awesome. It was great stuff.
I just like listening to him talk.
Right?
I just think he has a really good cadence and he's got a great voice. And I think he tells a story really well. And this is a good way to, again, these sorts of backstory filling in promo packages from people add to NXT. Like, you know, if you've got access to archival footage of people performing in Evolve or any of the other promotions that you work with, now that you're WWE, your Progress is your WXWs. Like, why not just leverage all of that stuff and just fill up your show with the really safe thing to do, which is just get people to talk into their phone or whatever it is, rather mm-hmm. than having them do stuff in the ring and then just fill us in on who they are, where they came from. I'm really interested in all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought this was great stuff. Dexter Lumis beat up Tahuti Miles, rent a jobber Tahuti Miles. And then we got, yeah, the Dream stuff. We've got some announcements for next week. So we've got El Hijo del Fantasma is taking on Jack Gallagher. Kushida is taking on Tony Nese. And Drake Maverick is taking on Jake Atlas, all in matches next week in the mm-hmm. Cruiserweight tournament. And then, yeah, the aforementioned Blackheart and Knox versus Gonzalez and Kai. And then it was the tag match with Thatcher's debut, and then the Ciampa promo with Killer Cross's, oh, sorry, Karrion Kross's debut. So, yeah, I thought this was a pretty good episode. Mm-hmm. The two debuts I thought were good. I thought the Cross one was awesome. The Thatcher one I thought was good. Some good, solid storytelling. Couple of, the Balor-Eichner match was good. I thought it was pretty solid. And the Tozawa Swerve match I thought was great. So, yeah, it's a pretty good episode. Not too much wrong with it.
Yeah, I think the thing is, it's just everything in WWE feels a bit untethered from reality now. That's my issue. It's like, yeah, sure, on paper, great episode of wrestling, great, great wrestling thing. But all the purpose seems to have drained out of wrestling because, you know, it feels like who's going to win the championship, all of that grind, all of that graft, all of that stuff doesn't really matter anymore. You know, the big tournament they're hyping is for an interim champion and not the champion of cruiserweights. You know, it all feels a bit stalled, and that is not WWE's fault. But then they have now added the sword of Damocles swinging over the top of every single episode of their production as they decide based on who's doing what that week and how well they did, whether they might be cutting people. So I think it was... Yeah. You know, not the show that was put out there's fault, but the fault of the company, certainly, that this NXT just feels a bit disjointed and a bit of a bad time to be watching WWE stuff.
So, Laurie, it was supposed to be Quizzlemania last night. It's actually going to be tonight instead. But last week on Quizzlemania, we actually had Larson from Going in Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually got an email here from Keith, who's got a Rusev Hay, or is it a Miro Hay now? I don't know. Of the time, he's met a few people, including Stephen Larson from Going in Raw. Let's read out this email from Keith. Hello, Pete. I just want to start off by saying I've been a long-time fan of WrestleTalk, and I just became a patron at last week's Quizzlemania. For the past few years, I've battled leukemia and beat it. Around that time, I found Stephen Larson, along with What Culture, and their videos got me through a lot. After a while, I found Ollie Davis wearing an absurd jacket, posting videos about wrestling. Then when Adam and the guys started Cultaholic, I started watching all of you and have up until this day. I was very happy to see Adam when he joined the WrestleTalk team in January, and I'm excited for the future. So back to the Rusev Hay. The last guest on Quizzlemania was Larson, and I submitted a super chat talking about how I met him and Steve at WrestleMania 33 at Access. I mentioned that maybe this is a good Rusev Hay to send in. As I mentioned earlier, I had leukemia and I was undergoing treatment. I was able to have a Make-A-Wish. I chose to take the family to Florida for WrestleMania 33. When I was there, I met quite a few wrestlers and even Stephen Larson. I knew they would be there, but I never thought I'd see them. I was looking for an encyclopedia, and up walked Steve next to me, and I turned and said, "Hey, you're Steve." I told him I was a big fan of him and Larson, and he took me over and introduced me to him. I told them about my trip, and we discussed the Roman versus Undertaker match and our opinions of Roman. I asked if I could get a photo of us together, and they happily obliged. After that, we went our separate ways and ended up bumping into each other a few more times, casually talking about things we were buying. It was a very fun addition to the time I was already having. I'll also include photos of the people I met because pics or it didn't happen. It was an amazing experience that I'll never forget. I was able to meet Daniel Bryan, Alicia Fox, Samoa Joe, Dean Ambrose, now John Moxley, Finn Balor, and even John Cena. I also want to use this as a way to thank you guys for all you do on a daily basis. You have all gotten me through the toughest of times sitting in a hospital bed. So for that, I thank you. One day I hope to travel to the UK to meet you guys. Thank you for being consistent. Keep up all the amazing content, and thank you for doing so even through these hard times. I hope you all have a great day. Thank you, Keith. Well, thank you, Keith.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Thanks, thanks for watching and listening and everything that you do. Because without you guys, we couldn't do any of this either.
Exactly. Yeah, literally without your support. He has attached photos. I don't know if there's a way I can show you.
You could hold maybe it up to the camera. I don't know.
No, because it's on my.
Oh yeah, because it's on the thing. So, yeah. Oh,
wait. Hold on. No, I can do this if I turn the camera around. But then I won't be able to see what I'm. You know what? I'll send them to you after.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, you can sort this out off air, and yeah, that would have been fine.
But I will describe. There's one of him in an NXT t-shirt with Steven Larson. There's one him doing a two sweep with Finn Balor. Finn cool. Balor, pre-Prince, big smile on his face. There's one of him with John Cena, just posing for the camera. There's one with him with Samoa Joe and Dean Ambrose, which is really cool. And there's one of him... in front of Alicia Fox and Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, big smile on his face while he's signing something. Gotta love Daniel Bryan. That's a lovely email. Thank you very much, cool. Keith. That's really, really nice to hear. Could do with some positivity in times like these. Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything else to talk about simply because nothing else happens in my life.
Well, this is it, isn't it? I think everyone's day now is just the same day that they had the day before. So I think if you've heard it, like, I've never had less to say to my missus.
Exactly.
Just like, what have I learned? What could you have possibly learned that I haven't seen? What probably could you have possibly done that I don't know?
A new flower type in Animal Crossing? I don't know. Like,
yeah, well, that's it, you know.
Yeah,
she's not that interested in what's happening in Animal Crossing because I deleted her from the game.
Okay, that sounds like a story that you should be telling.
So we started the game and I made a character for her. And then like she went off and like named the village and put some people in, but then like lost interest in 20 minutes and didn't want to play anymore that day. And I was fine, cool. And then I realized that she was the lead villager. So you can't progress the game if somebody else is the lead villager.
Right.
So I was like, I just made this. It was an executive decision of, I think I'll play this more. So I'm not going to be hamstrung by the fact that you might for 20 minutes a week want to play Animal Crossing, whereas I might want to play it every day for an hour. So I have deleted her. So I am now the lead villager in the village. Funnily enough, she hasn't moved back.
Shocking. Just shocking. Yeah. What a great time we're in.
Well, it's an admin thing, Pete.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not my fault Nintendo made it impossible for the game to progress if you're not the lead person in the village.
I know. Shocking. But we had... Because obviously we've been trying to find new things to do. My lady partner and I both play Overwatch quite a bit. But we only have one PC, so it's like one of us can only really play at a time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll see if I can run Overwatch on my laptop. Can't really. There's like 3 pixels. It's a time. We tried doing that, and I tried playing a bit. There's some serious input lag. It was, we're like, oh my god, we can play together for the first time ever. We can play Overwatch together. That'll be really fun. And it wasn't. pretty unfortunate.
Is it on sale on Switch at the moment? Because there's a huge sale on Switch.
I think it might be,
right now, yeah. So I don't know if the Switch version's been improved that much. I think people were saying it wasn't amazing when it first came out, but it might have been improved by now. But have you played Echo yet?
Very briefly. Like, I've not managed to have a full go. But seems kind of busted. Seems kind of broken. It's a bit nuts.
Seems like it's a Blizzard thing this week, isn't it? So they did that with Hearthstone as well, and they absolutely broke it by adding a new class, and now they've added a new character to Overwatch and balls that up too. Well done, Blizzard.
It's like they put the new character out in Overwatch on the test server, and it was like, whoa, she is like way too busted. We're gonna nerf some of this. We'll make some of these changes, and they put her out to the live game and like, nope, still broken. Still busted, guys. Come on, gotta change more than that. Yeah, it's nuts. But I am looking forward to playing her, though. She does seem very fun at the very least. So, yeah. Cool. Anyway, that's probably all the time we've got, mate.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, thank you for listening, everyone. You've got more awesome stuff coming up. You'll have the AEW thing, if that's not out already. You'll have the...
Also with weekend... me.
Also with Pete. Double Pete.
I know, crazy.
A double helping of Peter. And then tomorrow you'll have the weekend podcast, the magazine show with me and Luke. You'll have SmackDown on Saturday, and then we're back in with Raw on Tuesday next week. So until then, Take care. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.